welcome to episode 61 of Comic Book Nation, the official podcast of comicbook.com. I am your host, Kofi Outlaw, and with me today is my co-host, Matthew Aguilar.
What up, peoples?
And we have brought back our queen of anime and a whole lot of other stuff, Megan Peters. But today we brought you back to reign once again over anime.
Oh yeah, I'm here. I'm here with Goku and All Might.
Yeah, great. We got our Super Saiyan 4 Goku, All Might, and a snowman, Olaf, provided by Matt for some reason.
Yeah.
But if you're not watching this on video, yeah, we have some pretty cool figurines that we're proud of to celebrate anime today, because we are going to be doing a whole fall anime preview. Megan's going to break down where we're at in terms of new series that are coming, old series that are ending, what you should be checking out, and why you need to get on this anime wave. We are also going to be talking about new updates for some DC and Marvel projects that we're excited about. We will also be breaking down that Joker trailer, which has just hit and kind of is setting the internet on fire right now, and some other fun things that we're going to be doing. So be sure to stay tuned, because when we get back for our news flash, we're going to jump into that Joker trailer, some big DC and Marvel TV and movie updates, and you don't want to miss it.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30.
All right, so let's talk. Matt. Matt has been sitting here in the comicbook.com offices for the last few months and has had been forced, I would say, or coerced into the uncomfortable experience of watching me watch the Joker teaser trailer obsessively over and over again. Yeah. Every time he turns around, I'm just staring at it, or I just, like, since we sit, like, right behind each other, I whisper creepy things in your ear from time to time. This is all very true. So these are insights of what happens here and what Matt has to endure. But now we have a full Joker trailer that is out. And so far, I mean, that teaser trailer was really well done.
So good.
It was so good. I know from many research experiences that it is so very good. director Todd Phillips is kind of surprising everybody with what he's doing. So now we got the full trailer, and that's where things can fall apart sometimes when you because a teaser is a concept, and it's easy to make look real cool,
yeah.
Add some cool music, and just pick the best shots, and you can kind of skate by. Hmm. But once you get into larger plot points, more details of scenes and performances, it's more telling. Mm-hmm. So we got to see the full Joker trailer, and so far is still all good, man. Like, it's still, this looks like a really great, not just, I mean, I don't even want to say comic book movie,
yeah,
because it just looks like a really good movie, period.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One that just happens to be about the Joker or the formation of the Joker. And it's a lot about, what I saw in this trailer is a lot like what we talked about when this movie was first announced, and kind of like when we began to see, you know, the first images of Phoenix as a Joker, and us just having the debate, like so many DC fans, about whether a Joker origin story as a concept is a feasible thing, or does that ruin? Is that another, like, thing they had in the 2000s where people were obsessed with, like, backstorying villains all the time?
Yeah.
So, you know, we had to have Hannibal Rising and, like, all this other crap that kind of ruined the mystique of some of our favorite bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
So was that where we're going with Joker? But no, this looks like this film is using the character of Joker as a concept and the deeper kind of themes of Joker in telling a story about, you know, society and, you know, this one guy's kind of descent into madness as a metaphor for, you know, society and social unrest, and quite possibly a metaphor for where we are in these times now, which is something I said in the very beginning, you and I talked about, about it would be really cool if Joker was just kind of this manifestation of a lot of the civil unrest that we see in society today, and kind of going over that. And there are a lot of signs, the 80s being one of them. But this looks like Todd Phillips is going to thread this needle and really kind of do it well, and that Joaquin Phoenix is going to quite possibly be in Ward's contention for this movie when it comes out. So I'm going to be saying right now, publicly, I'm sorry to you, Matt, for the next few months of creepy, obsessive stuff that's like, going to be going on behind your back.
Fair enough.
But what'd you guys think?
Man, I mean, I love the teaser trailer. I thought it was really clever and well done. And I was very much on board with the idea that you've all presented in your writing and just talking on the office, that the Joker really feels like a manifestation of more theme than it does like character arc or like plot action that you see in the DC universe with the comics. So it never felt like it was going to be an origin story for me, which I love. And this new trailer just doubled down on that in the most uncomfortable way. Like it made me feel like almost like repulsed. Like I wanted to like crawl out of my skin watching that trailer, which I mean, it's probably what the movie's going to do. And the whole time I'm going to be like cringing because I'm going to be so conflicted by, you know, this mission and the mythos of what this character is presented with Joaquin Phoenix's Joker. But I'm also just going to be like enthralled. It looks so good. I mean, if there was ever, I mean, Black Panther, yes, has come to the Oscars and the nominations for that. And I mean, there's always going to be the inevitable comparison we're going to get about Heath Ledger's Joker and what he did with that character, especially if Joaquin Phoenix does come up for an award. But just looking at this right now, like, it's going to be something special. Like, that's my very firm belief.
I don't want to be the negative Nelly.
You are sitting between both of us.
By now, they expect us to keep it 100, possibly even 1,000, possibly 3,000 on this show. So you might as well.
So as you know, I love the first one.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that trailer. And I think why this one was a little underwhelming for me. It was bad at all. I mean, it's still a good trailer. I'm still immensely excited to see this movie. Mm-hmm. And there are parts of this trailer I really like. But this is almost, it's very rare that I'm I don't want to see more of it. Like, I'm very much like, give me all the footage you can. I want all the footage before I go into the movie. It's fine. It doesn't really bother me. I still enjoy movies for what they are. Mm-hmm. This one is almost the opposite for me. Like, seeing some of the things play out with, like, him as a comedian and the setup for De Niro's, you know, talk show host and, like, oh, here's the clip that kind of switches him and he's sad and then he starts getting angry and then seeing his mom in the hospital. Like, these are things that I didn't actually need the blanks filled in on. The part of what worked about the first teaser was that these were mysterious things. Like, when you see him uncomfortably dancing with his mother and stuff, you don't know that, like, literally in the next scene he could kill her or he could do something really bad. Like, there was a lot of mystery in that. And here, some of those points are now broken for me. It's like, oh, okay, this makes sense I can see how the plot kind of moves forward. And not to say that there's not going to be dark, crazy surprises. I'm just saying that as a trailer, it kind of gave me almost too much. I didn't need all the mystery moved. The best part of the trailer to me, though, is absolutely Joaquin. Just in his mannerisms and the way he talks, like the way he's talking to the therapist, the way that he's talking to the talk show host and Marc Maron. I think this was his first appearance in the trailer so far. Mm-hmm. You see him, and I'm guessing he's like the Ed McMahon or the agent or something like that. When he's like, you know, can you call me Joker? Like, in that little part, I loved. I was like, okay, that gives me back some of that. Mm-hmm. But it's just as a trailer, I was a little underwhelmed, but I'm still immensely excited for this. It was just, I don't necessarily need any more footage. I don't need any more at all.
Well, I think what this one did differently, and let's talk about like what the trailer is that the first one was kind of like this ironic humor approach where we're seeing somebody, like you said, the power of it, you and I, like we discussed, is we saw these scenes that could be mundane or even sweet in another movie, but you know, because this is the Joker, that it had that mystery and menace, like when he's bathing his mother or dancing with her or just trying to talk to the guy at the office of the hospital, Brian Tyree Henry, and you can just see these moments where you know a Joker is going to snap and murder this person, and that created this kind of ironic humor dread, and the song Smile, it was all, you know, this happy, great song for this very dark material. This one is different.
Yeah.
This one is like a powder keg, and the way the music works and the way the kind of footage comes at you is it's in this building and intensity, right? Like you start off and it's kind of more extended scenes of him, and it kind of sets up, you know, what he kind of goes through and why this dude hates the world and is trying to make people smile or take care of people like his mother, and then just having these you know, or just trying to find somebody to listen to and sympathize with him and doesn't get that. And I think they did a really good job of showing this kind of building and intensity as the music's like, and then it's just kind of him and seeing the madness and become this bigger thing about Gotham itself erupting in people and clown faces, taking on the cops, taking on the rich, you know, just starting to riot and anarchy spreading. And like all of that felt like it took it out of being a character study and made it into this whole much bigger thematic kind of crescendo that this movie is going to be.
Yeah.
And I think that's, even though it's a little bit more exposure, I think that's more accurate to how this movie is going to play. And I think that's what they're trying to to show you. And I think, and in some ways, to be the cynic in me, it's like, you know, the first one was very art house. This is like the attempt to find the balance between the art house, because all the imagery is so cinematic and gorgeous, and every shot in this trailer is really good, like Megan said. But this is also the commercial play. Like, this movie is going to be, you know, they're trying to say it is art house, but we still want you to remember DC's big movies. Like, you know,
I just so really preferred the art house approach.
So did I. I mean, I told you, I mean, my caveat, taking it back to the first episode, see how far we've come. My caveat is that, you know, I did say when the first one came out that I don't want any other trailers. Like, I don't think you needed anybody anymore. And I still believe that. I got to watch this for a job. But if I didn't, like, I wouldn't. I mean, it took me a minute when I came in because I did think about it, but I was like, can't let Comic Book Nation down. I got to be able to talk about it. So I have to watch this stuff, but like, no. And so I'll put that out there. If you guys are already sold, don't watch this if you haven't already. Just, I mean, it's not a bad trailer. I mean,
no, not at all.
Let's like it. I mean, Matt's not against it. He's just.
And there's great parts in it. Like, there's stuff that got me jazzed. Dude, there's, it's just,
There, so far, each of these trailers has managed to give me the chills with, like, a specific moment or line.
Yes. And,
yeah, the first one, I think we all agreed, was like the thing when he's writing in his notebook about being mentally ill and everybody expecting you to act like you're not and, like, all that stuff. And then this one was, which we should all examine why that resonated so well with all of us, probably.
But
like, it's another podcast.
It was so good.
And then this one is just like, I even tweeted it out. It's like the line, like, all of my life, I never thought that I even existed, but I do, and people are starting to notice. And it's perfectly timed with these scenes of him, like Arthur Fleck, standing on a corner, seeing people start to wear these clown masks going by in a car, and him just like smiling so happy that this is
there's such a great awkward moment there when he does the cheer.
He's like,
he's all it's so lovably awkward, and you're like, I should, but if that's indicative of what the rest of the movie is, you're gonna see little things that make you care about him as a person, as a character behind this.
This film is definitely one that I firmly believe is going to make us feel sympathetic for him and like the most uncomfortable of
ways. Well, I think it's gonna be like the tragedy, and I think again, this is gonna be the brilliance that Todd Phillips has figured out is we're gonna be mad at society. We're gonna be like, dude, couldn't this guy have just gotten like a hug?
Yeah.
A sympathetic friend, a good therapist, like something. So that we didn't turn into a psycho, and like that'll be the kind of thing. And if they successfully pull that off, that's a powerful thing to make people like leave the theater and kind of feel is like, we don't want jokers. We want like to take care of people. Like, this is crazy. And I think there's going to be a lot of undercurrent of that. So I'm psyched. This is probably like besides Star Wars, my most anticipated of the fall slash holiday season. Joker, coming October 4th. And there are some crazy little Easter eggs that we just wrote up one about a Batman-Superman connection that could actually, and by the time you hear this, I'll have another one up about, that could indicate that this will be, contain a big part of DC mythos in the form of another Batman origin story. Because if you look at the trailer, near the end, and this when it kind of hits high gear and there's a high barrage of scenes being thrown at you, one of them is outside a movie theater where a group of clown a cop is like walking up to a bunch of people trying to stop it, and it just erupts into a full riot of clowns throwing gas and stuff. And if you look really closely and slow it down right there, the movie that's playing at the theater, and movies and references to movies are a big thing in this film, but is 1981's Excalibur, which is the exact movie that was on the theater marquee outside of the theater in Batman and Superman when Bruce and or Thomas and Martha Wayne are gunned down in the beginning of Batman v Superman. So there was that connection. And if you look even closer in that same scene, coming out of the theater, they keep it very blurry and very quick. But if you just pause it at the right moment, you can see there's a well-dressed man, woman, and their small kid coming out of the theater in the midst of this riot of clowns. And I spent a lot of time with my crazy mind looking at it. But it does look like the actors who are playing the young Bruce Wayne and Brian Cullen, who's playing Thomas Wayne in this movie, and it looks like them. And my prediction is this will be a moment in the movie where it will be the Waynes coming out of the theater, and the story will be Joker has pushed things in Gotham to be so crazy, anarchistic, and violent that's the conditions that got the Waynes killed and inspired Batman, and then it will connect him to Batman and this cycle, you know. And I'm not the only person with that theory, obviously. The first trailer had him meeting the smile on the little boy's face that he's sitting, and a lot of people picked out from other clues in the trailer that's probably young Bruce Wayne that he's kind of doing.
But this one is really, like, that's a direct.
Yeah, that's a very direct. And they try to speed it past you, but, you know, we slow everything down.
Kofi was actually, like, over my shoulder going, pause here.
Yeah. Warner Brothers did not expect Kofi Outlaw to be on the case.
I mean, they should by now, but they didn't probably. So, I mean, I think that's going to be it, and it will be about and it will connect. And that's kind of interesting because that expands the mythos of the Joker in a powerful way. Mm-hmm. And they've done this. If you're going to cry blasphemy, just remember Batman 89 made Jack Napier the guy who actually blew the Waynes away. So it's not like this hasn't ever been attempted before.
Yeah.
And that's the fun thing.
It's not new.
Yeah. And I think that's the fun thing about this that we don't say is like how many different Joker things they seem to be pulling from.
Yeah.
There's a little Batman 89. There's probably going to be some Heath Ledger stuff with the anarchy, and there's going to be,
Killing Joke.
Oh, yeah.
And Red Hood the guy in the Red Hood. Yeah, all that stuff. And so, I'm kind of psyched to see this. So, all right.
Oof.
The final question we have is, do you guys think this will be successful enough to launch a DC Black label, which will be more kind of R-rated DC films and darker stuff?
I mean, I feel like it will be successful. With Blockbuster Studios and what their expectations of successful at the box office are just constantly skewed now because of the Avengers and other like massive blockbusters. So like, I'm not sure if it'll do like those kind of massive numbers, obviously.
One more caveat. The thing is with this one is it's such a lower production cost.
I mean, it's like in the 20s, right?
Yeah, it's low. Oh, yeah, it is, like,
and so
low.
If they
Todd
make
Phillips was
hundreds
cheap
of millions.
Yeah, like, I feel like just disregarding whatever the box office is, because I'm notoriously bad at predicting anything like that, I feel like the content, if what the trailers has shown lives up, and based on what we know of Joaquin Phoenix and Todd Phillips, it's going to be amazing. It will definitely prove the, like, proof of concept. It's just, I think they need to be very selective with what characters they would move forward with.
Yeah, I mean,
because I don't think every character needs that.
No, but this is, they kind of attempting the horror movie formula.
Yeah, like, for sure.
Something that costs 10 to 20 million, you rake in several hundred million, if not half a billion.
Mm-hmm. And, Blumhouse,
that's how,
like, that's their model. And they make a killing because they do it on consistency. I think it's a no-brainer. I think this movie makes, you know, if this movie makes Shazam money, it's a huge blockbuster because of how little it costs to make.
If it just hits 500 million.
Yeah, it doesn't have to hit Endgame 2 billion. You're talking about a different tier of movie, and that's the space that R-rated or even just mature movies. I mean, Black Label in the comics has become like Curse of the White Knight's Black Label, and it's not a Frank Miller throwing out F-bombs and just brutally killing people, but it has a tiered up level of maturity and stuff that happens that you won't see in your regular book. So this can be that. It doesn't have to specifically be just like R-rated stuff. It goes, if you're going to push the edges and you have characters that lend themselves to that, absolutely you do. I think this will be
And it just creates a space for DC to do things like this. Like, I don't think people would have erupted so much if it was, you know, Batman v. Superman, DC Black Label.
Yeah.
Zack Snyder's Batman v. Superman.
The comic Black Label, everyone actually thought it was a pretty good idea. It was only when, you know, they went, oh, hey, Batman's, people are drawing his, like, anatomy and stuff in there, and the people lost their minds. Had nothing to do with the classification. Like, people like that it's separate, and it tells you automatically that this is not tied to continuity in any way, and you don't have to go in with any previous knowledge. You just go and see that thing. I think it's smart from that perspective, but also DC has a lot of characters that would lend themselves to that. Not everybody.
I want the Black Label question movie. Come on.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah, like that.
Wait, Renee or...
I like the first guy, but I like both. I like both, but I would like to see both of them in a movie. Why scrimp? All right. Well, we've spent a crazy amount of time on that, so let's keep moving because we've got to have some fun on this stuff. Next, we're going to continue with DC by talking about a new movie update, which is that we got word today that IT director Andy Muschietti is going to be making The Flash his next movie project. So
yeah,
he's getting done
yeah.
with IT Chapter 2. Then he's going and doing The Flash, which means The Flash is actually happening. It's not still on this indefinite limbo back burner, but it sounds like DC is going to be moving forward with The Flash. We don't know any details besides Christina Hodson, who wrote Birds of Prey, is doing the script. And so
she's writing everything.
Yeah, she's writing everything.
Yeah,
she's Bumblebee.
Writing
everything.
She wrote Bumblebee,
stuff,
but she also wrote Birds of Prey and was attached to Batgirl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the question is, like...
She's a lot.
Yeah, is The Flash... And that brought up a good question. It's like... Andy Muschietti has said he loves The Flash and he's doing it because of the human story that it tells. And it's like, okay, well, are we still doing Flashpoint? Are we like, how are we doing that?
I would be
and
surprised.
It just seems like Christina Hodson being on board is either she's like WB's go-to in-house writer now, or there's more connectivity to all of this than like we might be initially aware of, which is why you would put it all in the hands of one writer who knows all the story threads and
that's
character
smart.
Beats.
Yeah, that's true.
And stuff mm-hmm. like that. So
I don't think we get Flashpoint.
No, I don't think we're
before
getting
before I got
crossover.
It, I understood. Now, if you're starting with a new writer, a new director, I don't even know who's attached to this movie other than Ezra. Like, is Kiersey Clemons still part of this?
Was she even, like, a part of it?
She was kind of at one point. She was supposed to be Iris. Like, I don't know who.
Did we even see her at all? No. Like, she got cut,
only
right?
in the cut. Yeah, cut footage from Justice League. But they never actually came out and said, like, oh, she's not part of this movie anymore.
No.
So,
all
like.
We know is Ezra's still on there.
Yeah, Ezra's it. I'm only excited about this because of the director. Mm-hmm. And I don't still have the faith that we won't. Like, I'm hoping beyond hope that he's the one that sticks. But we've been down this
road
before.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah.
This is our
times.
Third or fourth?
We've run down this.
He's our fourth.
He's our fourth.
Yeah. He's four.
So, like Gambit, I will say when we actually see a title, a logo,
dead.
Something.
Hashtag dead.
I will see it. But I'm
hopeful. Oh, man.
Because it, fantastic. Love that.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
yeah, and we will be talking about that next week for our review. So yeah,
I'll just say this: I just don't think it'd be Flash. I would just be kind of mad if they wasted Andy Muschietti on Flashpoint. Like I love Flashpoint, but it does not lend it. No. I don't feel like that's a good combination. I'd rather than
Flashpoint
just
Flashpoint is a movie you work towards.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It's not a movie you just slap
the only reason,
together.
The only reason I threw that out there is because it's a safe back way to get themselves out of this entire DCEU mess.
I totally
It doesn't have to be Flashpoint proper. All you need is a story really with like Reverse Flash or something like that.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they'll do. Even if it's not on that scale, they'll do the Barry Reverse Flash, can I change things, save my mom type deal.
Yeah.
Because that does get you out of this
that's true.
Whole DCEU trap.
And that touches on the human story of like Barry's grief. And
I think also part of it is just some bias that I am so sick of Flashpoint. In like it gets in everywhere as far as the comics. Like, there's still, the main Batman title is still dealing with stuff that happened from the button and Flashpoint.
We can't let go of Flashpoint. It's the new age of apocalypse. I mean, it's DC's age of apocalypse. Like it just
Stop
keeps
it.
Hanging around. It's been an animated movie.
I know. I'm
and
so sick of it.
And that horrible storyline on the Flash TV show. Like, it's so
it's never going.
If I could be done with Flashpoint and Cosmic Treadmills, I'd be totally happy. You'd call me.
Yeah. So I'm still wondering if they're gonna use that device to kind of reset all this because Flash would be the movie to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like very much now so. Would explain, hey, Batman's different. Things are different. Like this is a different DC. And now it's official. All right. So moving right along, let's talk about. Blah, 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 blah. Captain America in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So, Anthony Mackie. Oh, God, I love Anthony Mackie. Because
he's
Anthony Mackie's
a goldmine, man.
Yeah, he's just a source of quirks all the time.
Anthony Mackie doesn't care.
He's great, man. Beautiful. Also, he buries Tom Holland at every interview.
But now
he's
that's
done.
Now that's upsetting. Now it's upsetting.
Is it? I think it's still funny.
I feel like I'm curious what his newest comments are going to be because he's just going to be like, oh, he couldn't stick it.
He just throws him under the bus and it's so funny to me.
Throws him out of the universe now.
That's true.
I
just love how every reporter is more offended at those interviews than
basically Anthony Mackie hinted that he's not going to be Cap, fully evolve into this Cap character throughout the show. But now that's being walked back because Marvel Ninja swooped in.
Because he says stuff on camera, yeah. Maggie. Yeah.
And so, like, I mean, this has been a very popular story, but I didn't actually read it. Does anybody, what did he actually say?
So he says, and they play the clip mm-hmm. in the interview from a previous interview he did with MTV with mm-hmm. the same interviewer.
Josh yep. Horowitz? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So he's there, and he asks him, hey, so, like, he says something along the lines of, like, you know, so we're going to see Cap, or you're going to be Captain America. So how does it fit? You know, how does it fit? And mm-hmm. he goes, oh, it fits so good. It fits so nice. Like, he essentially says, like, it fits so good. Like, directly talking about the costume. It is. Mm-hmm. There's not really much wiggle room there. He doesn't say, how's the first day on set? How was your fittings? He says, so how's the suit? How does it fit? And he goes, fits so good. Whatever. So then in this one, he walks that back and says, oh, well, you know, the internet took that all out of proportion. I wasn't saying, I was just talking about first day of fitting. And Sebastian's right there with him, by the way, doing the, oh, yeah, man, that was crazy. Like, da-da-da-da-da.
Sebastian State is so bad at this.
And I'm like, guys.
He's so bad.
And in the same clip, they play the old one, and it's like, no, dude, you tried it on. You totally tried it on. So yeah. Props. I understand why, because I'm sure some PR person came out and was like, hey, don't talk about the Captain America costume.
That's a big one.
That's a big thing, man. And he was like, oh, yeah, I'll get out of it. But
didn't get
it was
out
on
of
video,
it.
Dude.
He 900% slipped in that suit. I'm
so,
ready for it.
It's Marvel's protected secrets. We don't need protected. But, yeah, he's getting a Captain America suit.
Yeah. He's going to rock
yeah.
it.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
I'm so excited.
I don't think you'll see it till later in the series.
No. We'll see it at the finale or second yeah. last episode.
That's the crux of the whole. I mean, it's a Marvel TV show.
You're
of course,
working
like the last
towards it.
Episode. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, yeah. I mean, the whole crux of it is, you know, do I want to become Captain America? How do I do that? Who's this U.S. agent dude?
Yeah.
All mm-hmm. that stuff, yeah.
But he totally wore the suit.
He 900% has tried on that suit. He's put on the shield. He's done everything.
Can tell you from experience, yeah, you catch Mackie at different times. It depends what mind state he's in.
Yes.
Like, what he'll say to you. Because, I'll never forget the Winter Soldier interviews with him and Frank Grillo. Man, those guys were, those two were crazy together. That was when he would just Anthony Mackie would just go around yelling about Falcon and his gang, the Bird Gang, and then he was screaming and doing Falcon cries and dropping everybody's mic. He's a crazy.
I love it.
I love it. I'm here for it. It's such a very different atmosphere from what Chris Evans did.
Yeah.
He's so refreshing. just in the cast as far as like the way he acts. Because a lot of the other guys are like seasoned PR vets that have been doing this for a while. Mackie just is so fresh. You don't have any idea what he's going to say. He's probably going to set it out. He's not Tom Holland spoiler guy.
No.
But he will put out a couple little things. But he's,
Mackie will just troll you just to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's definitely true. Yeah. So, yeah. That guy's going to be Captain America. I'm psyched.
I'm so ready.
So, we'll be checking that out when it hits Disney Plus. All right. One thing I found, I like to throw some weird things in here. And this one was like a little horror thriller weirdness about the Invisible Man reboot.
Yeah.
Like, it's been hard for me to keep up with these films ever since my beloved Dark Universe got canceled.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Dark Universe, R.I.P. Mummy.
So jazzed about that.
Yeah,
thing.
So was I. I was like, action and monsters? This is what I've always waited for. But Dark Universe isn't happening, but Universal still has the classic Universal property, so they're putting out this Invisible Man reboot. And it's going to be starring Elizabeth Moss from The Handmaid's Tale and homeboy from Oliver Jackson Cohen from Haunting of Hill House, Aldous Hodge from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And basically, I read the premise for this because it's been released, like what the movie is going to be about and the whole, you know, reboot synopsis. And I thought, this is nuts. And I never saw this coming. And this was a good kind of interesting way to do. If you don't know, The Invisible Man's about a guy who's invisible. There you go. All right. So here's a synopsis. What you can't see can hurt you. And then they'd say, Elizabeth Moss stars in a terrifying modern tale of obsession inspired by Universal's classic monster character. Trapped in a violent, controlling relationship with a wealthy and brilliant scientist, Cecilia Cass escapes in the dead of night and disappears into hiding, aided by her sister, their childhood friend, and his teenage daughter. But when Cecilia's abusive ex commits suicide and leaves her a generous portion of his vast fortune, Cecilia suspects his death was a hoax. as a series of eerie coincidences turn lethal, threatening the lives of those she loves. Cecilia's sanity begins to unravel as she desperately tries to prove that she is being hunted by someone nobody can see.
That sounds dope.
Yeah.
Sounds awesome.
It sounds like classic kind of gothic monster horror. Like, I imagine she's going to, like, move into a big house and get all this stuff from the fortune that he leaves.
Mm-hmm.
But then it starts to,
stalking.
Like, yeah, it's like, just stalking. Yeah. It's like a little bit of Hollow Man.
I was so going to say that.
Yeah, Hollow Man, yeah. But good, yes.
Yeah, but good.
Yeah. Hollow Man is a story about a guy who goes invisible and decides to become a rapey psycho at about 2.3 seconds later.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And I've always been...
So
like,
much potential there, but...
Yeah, and it was just a really schlocky kind of thriller movie. But this sounds like a good kind of psychological horror and good for the kind of Me Too era type movie. Yeah. That sounds... Isn't that crazy? That's a crazy concept.
And it puts... I think it's really smart, too, because it utilizes its star.
Yeah.
Because Elizabeth Moss becomes the focal point of the majority of this movie, and the Invisible Man becomes this threat instead of the other way around, when you're always like... I always feel like that's where those adaptations, anytime they've tried to adapt this character, struggle, because they have to constantly give you moments where you see him, because you want to use the actor that is portraying the person. So you're tied to this, well, we gotta come up with some excuse so we can see the face, and so whatever. And this takes that out. You can just do whatever you want with that, and that's
cool. Yeah, and it's just the actors, you know, acting. And Aldous Hodge, who I say Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but he's just had like a movie about a true life court case. A guy who got out of prison and was going to the NFL. Like, he's just, he's doing dramatic work. Elizabeth Moss is a great actress. Like, it sounds like... Yeah, and a lot of it will be her on screen, you know, reacting to things.
She's great. She's great.
That are happening, and like, yeah, and that'll be really good. And I'm kind of really excited to see that concept play out.
I am bummed it's not linked in any way
to Dark Universe. I know, man.
I am very bummed at that. When I read that, I was like, ugh.
It sounded like a great, much better concept than the freaking Mummy.
Yeah,
that'd have been great.
Thanks a lot, Tom Cruise.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Tommy. All right, so moving right along, the next thing we're just going to say is just a little woohoo celebration, because two classic video games are getting re-released, and this is right up Matt's alley because they were Disney adaptations.
Disney!
Oh, yeah.
Disney, boom.
Oh, fine. You just... Ah!
Wow.
The Lion King and Aladdin video games are getting the 90s are getting remastered.
Yes.
And if you were a 90s kid playing Sega Genesis or SNES, you understand just how classic and important those games were.
Yes.
These games are so...
I also take credit for this, because literally the day before it was announced, I got out my Sega Genesis and I played both of those games. And I relived the torture of doing the I Can't Wait to Be King scene in Lion King,
which is
literally the most frustrating scene I've ever played in a video game ever in my entire ever life.
So that So that answers the question I was going to ask, because I was...
I take credit for
Genesis
it.
Or Super? Because I'm a Genesis.
Oh, I was about to ask, like, which one did you play? Like,
she's Genesis. So I'm Genesis.
I'm talking about Aladdin specifically, because Aladdin was different on both on the two platforms.
Yeah, I did Genesis.
Genesis all the way.
Oh, did Genesis. SNES. See, mine was all about the parkour. Like, mine was all about the parkour and the flipping and the stuff. Like,
were Genesis.
West.
Yeah, Genesis.
One Genesis, man.
Was like, yeah. No, the Genesis one was great. That was also a really good Aladdin. So, yeah, man, I'm really psyched. I mean, that was kind of, I think, the more popular one.
And it's just cool that you can... I love the fact that they revealed the mode where essentially you can turn on... You can hop and skip to any part of the game.
Yeah.
At will. Like, you can
that
just...
That is so nice.
That's so great, because no more do you have to get stuck on one part and
I
do it...
I just can't wait to be king.
For an hour, right? And, like, Cave of Wonders... was a hard sequence in Aladdin, and if you want to skip it, which, I mean, why would you, though? It's a really cool sequence, but, you know, it's... And plus, honestly, Aladdin had so many cool little animations of the genie in Aladdin when you died, that, like, where he's fanning you and all this other stuff. Those are worth dying a couple times. But, yeah, really cool that they're doing, like, various modes. It's all in 1080p.
Yeah.
It's all on the same disc, so you get both games for the price of one.
Now I'm just waiting. Now if they're, like, willing to start doing this, put on the Switch, I'm like, what else could you put on that was on the Genesis or the SNES? Yes, put it on the Switch.
I want a Vector Man.
I want like all the like
Vector Man.
I don't know what the rights are for, but I want all that like Maximum Carnage X-Men Genesis game.
Oh god, not
arcade.
Yeah, no,
not
arcade revenge.
That was terrible.
Worst Christmas of my life. Spider-Man and the X-Men arcade.
I've never hated the X-Men more than that game.
The unbeatable game.
The Gambit sequence?
Yeah. My God. I still have psychological damage from just trying to cut my eyes out, just trying to just beat that game.
But yeah, all the other ones, though.
That's why I got on my Genesis.
The tick on Genesis was great.
Yeah, tick was great. Yeah. I mean,
real question is will we get Echo the Dolphin?
I've played that game. So much time in the dentist's office trying to get through that game. My dentist had it. Oh, man.
I played that game so hard.
Yeah, I love Echo the Dolphin. But this is just firing up our video game nostalgia. That is awesome news. I am so psyched. And I will be playing this. I'm going to teach my kids to play.
Yeah, it's perfect for that. Oh, it's so great for that.
Yeah.
It'll be a good reason for me to get out the Switch. My family's going downhill after this. All right. So, moving right along. Disney Plus. Finally, we just had a little story here about Disney Plus. And I wrote it in show notes as Disney Plus is getting that guap, if you don't know what that means. Urban Dictionary it. I'm not here to explain
it. I laughed so hard when I saw it.
Just a quick check-in on Disney Plus. The subscriptions are coming in. They are exceeding expectations.
Everything.
I want to know what their expectations were.
That's true. Yeah, I would like
how
to
many
know
did
that.
You think you were going to get?
Because.
And how many... Are you really getting like
at $6.99?
Like, I feel like they needed to have a pretty high expectation.
Yeah,
like
right
not to be bragging, but like they're Disney, so like they knew they
were. And their internal forecasts last April were 20 to 30 million subscribers by 2024, which would account for about 20 to 30% of all U.S. broadband households. So every 20 to 30% of people with broadband internet would be subscribed to Disney Plus by 2024, and now it's exceeding those expectations.
Netflix is shaking.
Now Netflix has
does have a lot.
120 last is it 120 or 150?
It's something like that. But they were like the they were first out of the gate.
Yeah, but they have a large
base. Big.
It's massive.
But this is fantastic. I mean, right out of the gate, this is. Phenomenal. I mean, and all of, I mean, I would imagine, I haven't actually asked, but all of us here, right, are getting it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a no-brainer.
I have to see Anthony Mackie in costume.
Yeah, that is I mean, it's a no-brainer for me. Kids, like.
Mine is only, the only question I have is if I'm going to bundle or not. Like, it's not even a question of, we're getting that.
Yeah.
Dude, Lady and the Tramp. Noelle.
Anyway,
on the Disney Channel.
Anyway, so Disney Plus is going to, it's looking even crazier than people expected. We're getting our subscriptions, you getting yours, because it's going to be hard for you to follow this show if you can't talk about a lot of the Mandalorian and Falcon and the Winter Soldier in the next year or so. So let's stump for Disney right now and go get that subscription. All right, when we come back, Megan Peters is going to take us out with a deep dive preview of the fall anime offerings, and again, tell us what you should be tuning into right now, coming in the fall, and everything in between. So be sure to stick around for that.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
All right, Megan, take us home. What's going on in anime? It's been a crazy summer.
Mm-hmm.
As somebody who is part of Megan's growing legion of anime writers, like that,
I just busy. Slowly absorb them,
people
you've
just been
just
making
gathering,
just slowly been making converts over here. But that's okay. Anime has been slowly making converts out of the entire world over the last couple years that we've been here.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going into the fall season. And,
yes,
coming out of a pretty hyped summer season. So tell us what's going
on. So summer's over. JoJo's gone. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, which I've talked about.
Yeah,
on the previous
that's been
episode.
I'm behind on that, but that's been a weird pick up. JoJo took over summer.
Yeah, JoJo went hard. hard. But the fall season is coming. The fall season officially begins kind of like the end of September, October. So we're starting to wind down a lot of these summer shows. So to get prepared, I mean, there's a lot of staple series that are coming back in the fall. The fall season, I mean, much like American TV, is like the big shows are coming back. So the biggest is My Hero Academia season 4.
Plus Ultra!
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, go if you did go. It. I don't have to say anything else, but I will. Season 4 is supposed to be an amazing arc. For anyone who's read the manga, they will know what's coming. But just as a quick overview, basically this arc follows kind of a Yakuza-like organization that works in the underbelly of the kind of supervillain society. Because when you have supervillains, why do you need the Yakuza? Why do you need gangs when you have superpowers? So it's kind of this like interesting look into how villain society changes when you live in a society of pro heroes. There's a bunch of amazing action sequences, character introductions. I got to see the first episode earlier this summer. It is so brutal. I was shocked when I watched the first episode. I was in a room of people and there's just one very, 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 very bloody scene that you would not expect for a show that's, you know, geared towards, you know, like people ages 13 to like 20. This one is like over the top gory blood everywhere.
Really?
And everyone in the audience just went, because they were so shocked that My Hero Academia would go that far. Because it's not that kind of show.
Is that the villains meeting that goes sideways?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there's these. Yeah. When two main villain meetings come together, someone gets basically.
So now, did that happen in
yes.
the original? Okay, so
yes,
it
but
was
they,
there.
It but. Was happened, but it, even in the manga, normally with anime, manga tends to be the more graphic, unless it's like a
yeah,
risque
it's
a like
black and white drawing, so you can
yeah.
Get away
so
with
like
that.
You
yeah.
get away with a lot more, especially in shonen, which is geared towards like teenage to like young adult men, which is what My Hero Academia is considered. But yeah, no, the anime wow. absolutely took it up like 20 notches, and then again they showed that scene specifically at a panel at Comic-Con that I was covering, and everyone again the entire audience just went started screaming because they were so shocked. So if you're not watching that, you need to be watching My Hero Academia.
Yeah, I mean, that's yeah. a PSA we've been putting out for a while. We haven't, it's been off season for a good portion of since this show began.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We
it's
haven't really
back.
Touched on it, but like, yeah.
You're going to hear
now,
about
that's
it a
one
lot.
Of our main staples here is My Hero Academia. If you're a fan of superhero stuff and you've never thought you could get into anime, like, this is your doorway. This is
yeah.
one of the best, not even anime, but superhero stories like mm-hmm. around right now. And if you're not really kind of experiencing it, you are seriously missing
yeah.
it.
Yeah, the English dub is excellent, and you can watch all of the seasons currently either on Crunchyroll with a free subscription or a paid subscription
yeah.
or through Funimation now. So that's the big one.
Nice.
As far as other series that are returning, more big ones, Sword Art Online season 3 is returning with like a new arc, so it's going to be basically like a part 2 of the season. There's going to be like, that's going to be like the climax of season 3. Food Wars Shogeki no Soma is coming back, which is like a shonen show about like this elite school of high school chefs who fight each other daily, but not like fisticuffs, but like I can make better salmon poke bowls than you.
This is a real show?
Oh, it's immensely popular.
Oh my God, that sounds amazing. I'm not.
Oh, they have like very.
It's like a whole domestic side of it.
They have very not safe for not safe for work reactions to like desserts, like when they eat it. It's really.
Oh my God.
No, it's very popular. It's coming back. And again, as the fall season continues, I mean, One Piece right now, I've been writing about this a lot on comicbook.com. It has entered its newest arc, which is the Wano Country arc. I know One Piece, when they talk about anime, a lot of people have heard of it, but they laugh at wanting to start it because it's like 800 episodes in. And that's a commitment. I mean, that's a commitment. But whenever One Piece starts a new arc, you can kind of slip in and like watch it from that point and then continue. You don't need to know too much. So I would very much recommend people to watch that. And then Boruto, Naruto is still kind of carrying on. There's no need for us to really talk about that right now.
No, nope, no, there is not.
Struggling, but this does lead into my segue.
I'm
going to
take a quick PSA and say, like, man, for as good as the Boruto manga is, like,
the anime
I know
is struggling.
The anime is just trying to fill time so it doesn't overrun the manga, but like, the anime has been struggling basically all summer. Like,
right.
It has just so fallen out of my even top 10 things to watch.
Yeah.
And that was so unusual because Boruto was so, so good for like a stretch there.
Yeah,
and
it
like,
was so good for yeah, like
now,
one
arc. I mean, I'm going to say it out there. I feel like right now it's worse than Naruto Shippuden as terms of how much filler it is.
Oh, for sure.
Like they have just thrown filler arc after filler arc after filler arc. And I'm pretty sure by the end of this, we're going to go through every character in the show getting their own filler arc.
Yeah.
Like, there's characters I haven't seen ever, like, getting entire Hot Springs arcs. And I'm
so
like...
So why is that happening now as opposed to before? Like, is it just because they ran up to where the story is?
So So Boruto started as a film, and there was no manga attached to it at that point. The film did so well, and they were like, all right, it's the sequel to the Naruto series and Naruto Shippuden. And they were like, well, we could continue this. There's more story to tell. They started the manga. The issue is that the manga comes out once a month, so you only get one update a month. And they were like, well, we need to cash in on the anime. So they started an anime, and they did, like, an introductory arc, which, like, made sense. It was still filler. And then they adapted the arc that the movie covered. And then they hit filler arc because the manga has something like 25 chapters currently, and they're thick.
I think it's like 30, 31.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I'm thinking of another issue. Please ignore me.
It's 31.
Yeah. So there's like way more chapters now, and they're thick chapters. Like each chapter could be several episodes based on like anime pacing, and anime episodes are about 20 minutes, like with commercials included.
Yeah.
So. That's the reason that there's so much filler. The manga, though, is so good, and so that's what I'm segueing to. If you're looking for something to read, Viz Media, you can access, like, new chapters of Shonen Jump, which is what Boruto and Dragon Ball Super are housed under. You can access the latest three chapters for free, or you can just pay $1.99 for, like, the whole year and access, like, unlimited chapters for the whole year. It's an amazing deal. But anyways, the Boruto manga is amazing. It's hit such a good arc.
Yeah.
When the anime finally starts adapting the manga content, it's going to be
so good. Yeah.
We're just not at that point yet. But if you're looking for something that you can't watch in anime period, currently that's new airing. Dragon Ball Super is still putting out monthly issues. And the current arc is on fire. If you want to meet... one of the best villains, like, that I'm so very much invested in with the Dragon Ball mythos. It feels this arc that they're currently going through, I won't give too much to spoil, but there's, like, a magical goat human, like, villain.
There's a, there's a goat humanoid sorcerer who's 10 million years old and is, like, the most badass Dragon Ball villain we've seen.
Yeah, what? He, like, devours worlds like Galactus.
Yeah, he's Galactus.
He's Galactus, basically.
But he's a goat.
He's a goat Galactus.
Humanoid goat. Yeah,
sorcerer.
Who's also Galactus.
Who's 10 million years old.
And he's fighting Goku.
I'm sold.
And the more he does his Galactus thing, the younger he and sexier he gets.
Yeah, it's...
Oh, my God. Okay.
And, like, Goku...
I'm not kidding about this.
This is great. That's in
Goku can't beat
way.
Him. Vegeta's gone off on his own to finally train for once. This arc...
Is a lot
so
of
solid. There's so much to do. It feels very much like a classic Dragon Ball Z arc. So for fans who've really missed that, this is a great place to start reading. You can check it out on VizMedia.com. There's tons of coverage on comicbook.com. I write about it, I feel like, literally every day, twice, three times a day. So there's a lot of stuff to be looking forward to in the fall. And then, basically get into it while you need to. You really do need to. Anime's so good.
If you need any guidance, comicbook.com anime, the team is here laying it all out for you daily. We got your roadmap to anything you want to know about and how to get into all of this stuff. So be sure to check that out. All right, that'll do it for this episode of Comic Book Nation. We are going to be getting out of here, but if you want to just get into the show because you're just starting to, you can find new episodes on comicbook.com every Wednesday and every Friday where we provide an RSS feed you can subscribe to for new episodes. Or you can subscribe on your favorite listening platforms. We are on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Google Playlists, or you can tell any Amazon Alexa device, play Comic Book Nation podcast, and we will fire right up in your speakers. If you want to continue the discussion with us about anything we talked about today, make sure to hit us up at the hashtag Comic Book Nation, or you can find me at Kofi Outlaw.
You can find me at Matt Aguilar CB.
And I'm at Megan Peters CB.
I don't know why I paused there. Like, there was something profound about you saying your Twitter name. I don't know. Just, like, it threw me for a minute there. But, all right, that'll do it for this episode. We also leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes because we read them, and you get a T-shirt if we read them. We're still giving our mailing department time to sort out their bundle of orders. We'll be back for some more reviews, so be sure to kind of start leaving them now, because in the next week or so, we'll be reading some more. That'll do it for this episode of Comic Book Nation. You know, you guys, I just want to say about the show, there was a long time I feel like I didn't even exist, but now that I know that I do...
Wow.
And people are starting to notice.
I can't even
imagine. You have to give us a Joker laugh.
Do it.
Thank you. You know what?
That's good. That's good. Very nice.
I like that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that'll do it from that creepy, awkward end. We're out of here. Later.